talk about the Golden Man Part 3? It'd be okay? Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Galatians 5. We'll just kind of jump off from there. I'm not going to review very much on the Golden Man. If you're hearing this tape, this is the third in a series. And you ought to just write and get those first two tapes. But the Holy Spirit, He is your personal teacher. If you spend time meditating the Word, as Dave teaches us, both the laws of meditation and then assimilation, and then spend a lot of time praying in the Holy Spirit, He has a way of making very difficult concepts very simple. And He'll get it across to you in a way you personally can understand it. In my own case, I had devoured years and years and years of tapes on faith in the early days of the Word of Faith movement. They're all good. I mean, Copeland, I chewed my Copeland Hagen just like you did. But the funniest part of it was, I mean, you know, we lived by faith all we could, but when I compare my walk with what I would hear of, like, Kenneth Hagin's walk or Kenneth Copeland's walk, it was for sure I was not walking at any ways near the level of faith these men were walking in. It's hard to walk in another man's faith. You got to have faith in the Lord yourself. You got to have a relationship with Him yourself. You got to know what He said to you. You know, what you're supposed to be doing. So anyway, He took these concepts as Dave, not only through those methods, but as I would listen to Dave's tapes on the Born Again Trail, these 8:30 services. By the way, Derek, I might have misled you all. Derek asked me a question. He said, "Gary, how do you have time to listen to all those tapes 10 or 15 times?" I don't. I didn't mean to tell you that I listened to all of them 10 or 15 times. That's not what I meant. But every now and then, you know, we know how Dave is anyway. You get a lot of review. Then you get a little bit of, then you get a little bit of the next one, don't you? And then you get a lot of review. And that's good. That's what a teacher does. You know, you didn't learn your math tables just by saying it once, did you? Your multiplication tables, ABCs, or anything else. One of the Hebrew words for wisdom, you know, Hebrew carries pictures with every word. And it's a picture of a nail. And I thought, well, that's interesting. But see, wisdom is that which is pounded in. Makes sense, doesn't it? So what I meant by that, now when Dave, every now and then he'll get into one of those things where you've not, it's not review anymore. Oh my God. And I heard him, I heard what the man said. But did I understand it? No way. How many of y'all have ever had that whew, right over your head thing, you know? And you tried to grab it as it went by, and it's too late. You got to go get the tape, don't you? Now those are the ones I'm talking about. When one of those services happened, now that tape right there, I don't have anything else to do till I understand what he said. I don't have anything because of a stone wall. I want these roof questions every level. You know, from glory to glory, every one of them needs to fit on the walls that have been erected. If you've got a weak place in your wall, you're still gonna fail. You got to understand it line upon line, precept upon precept. Hallelujah. Glory. And with every stone in the wall in place. I don't know what that noise is, but hallelujah, they're going anyway. Now, so on the Born Again Trail, I kept listening to those. I would listen to every, you know, the ones that had new concepts that I'd not heard before. And I knew I didn't have it. I heard what the man said, but I knew I didn't have it. Well, now those tapes I will listen to. I keep them in my car. If I'm going anywhere, that's my number one way of listening to tapes because I don't really like to take up my prayer time with that. But sometimes you have a knowing on the inside when something's important. I've got to get this. Yeah, how many of y'all remember that time when Dave was doing that thing about the, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God, how many times do you think I listened to that tape? I knew, wow, I got to have this now. I got to understand this, and I do understand it. But it took a while. So those are the tapes I listened to. But anyway, the whole point of that was this. As we went through my own meditation, my own assimilation, my own prayer time, and in digesting everything Dave's been teaching us, still trying to get a handle on this born-again trail so that it changes your life. I mean, if it doesn't change us, we wasted our time. You know, I love what Dr. Prakash said. If you weren't here the other night, you ought to get that tape. He says, "We are so tired of your preachers. We want to hear no more preaching. Send us men of God. Like Dave. And Pastor Tim." He says, in all my 30 years, we've never had a meeting like we had when they came. People changed forever. Repentance, salvations, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and healed and devils cast out. Send us men of God. We are tired of your preachers. Let me tell you, the whole world is tired of our preachers. It's time for, they want to see some gold in men. They want to see some people that have been changed by the Spirit of the living God and walk as He walked. Glory to God. Well, that led right up to my verse. Galatians 5 and verse 6. And really, Paul is approaching the end of his letter to the Galatians. See, the whole problem here, the Judaizers are coming along behind him. He'd gone through and got all these people saved and born again, these Gentiles. Here comes religion right behind him. You know, Paul eventually had to move on to the next town. Well, here comes religion. Satan cometh immediately. And they're saying, no, you cannot be saved. You cannot be perfect unless you keep the law. Trying to put these spirit-born people back under the law. Now, I got to meditate. Oh, okay, let me read the verse. But Paul's, this whole argument here in Galatians, he's going basically, you better listen to somebody who came out from under the law. I know the law. I've lived under the law. I know the difference. And let me tell you the conclusion of the whole matter. And here it is, Galatians 5, 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. While I was in Houston recently, another one that he really brought to me was back up to chapter 4, verse 30. And it's really the last half. He's talking again about religion, and he's using the bondwoman, Hagar, and Ishmael as a type of religion. And then he's using Sarah, and Isaac, the child of promise, as a type of life, being born again. I want you to, boy, if you don't have this underlined, somehow the Holy Spirit just brought this and just magnified it, lifted it up off the page, whatever you want to say, but listen to this. How many of y'all want to walk in your inheritance as sons? Watch this. Look at this. Galatians 4, verse 30. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. What does that mean, Brother Gary? You better get free of religion. Stop it completely. You cannot mingle the two. And as long as you do, you're never going to walk in your inheritance. You will never be an heir. Now, you may go to heaven. I'm not saying that. But he's talking about in this life, on this earth. It is one or the other, honey. It is religion or it is life. You better choose this day which path you're walking. All right? Well, Dave's been teaching us on the born-again trail, and I've been listening and assimilating. Then the Holy Spirit brought me that vision, which I described on the earlier tapes, of the classroom, which was just a normal classroom. Saw all these high school students in there just dressed like they do today, you know, mostly blue jeans and T-shirts. But one of them was quite different, and he looked like a creature from another world. He was a golden man. Reminded me of that movie Cocoon, where the aliens were just clothed in human flesh. But once that flesh, if you could peel it away, they were golden. And your first thought was, that person is not of this world. Look at the person sitting next to you. You are not, say this to him, you are not of this world. You're an invading force from heaven. Come to occupy till he comes. What does that mean? You're supposed to make golden men out of all the people you meet. We're an occupying, invading force sent from heaven to take over. Do you understand that? We're trying to rescue as many people as possible. That's the whole mission. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, that's so good. We're done. Turn to John 14. Now, that's all really the review, because when Dr. Prakash said that, my heart just... See, that's my... I don't know, you just touched my heart when he said, we are tired of your preachers. Send us no more preachers. We do not want any more preachers. And I know what he means by that. If there's anyone that loves God and loves the Word and loves good preaching and teaching, is Dr. Prakash. That's not what he means. Now, what he's talking about, send us someone who just doesn't talk about it. Send us someone who comes with the Word in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Come in with the goods. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Because the vision with the golden man in that classroom, one thing I knew for sure, what is he doing sitting here? See, you can go to seminary. Some people call them cemeteries. You can go and sit under religion till the day you die. You're never going to walk in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. If anything, they're going to drain that out of you. The whole idea is for the golden man not to sit in man's classroom, but for him to sit in the classroom. I like to call it now CPU. No, PCU. Prayer Closet University. Because there's only one qualified teacher for that golden man on the inside of you. And that is the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he, personal pronoun, he will guide you into all truth. He's going to take of mine and he's going to show it unto you. What does that mean? He's going to show you how to walk like I walk. I'm putting my Spirit in you. I'm sending you the same Holy Spirit that I worked with. And the works that I did shall you do also. And greater works shall you do. Because I go to the Father. Glory to God. Now, let's talk about getting to the place where that starts happening. Where we're not anymore. Now, we'll always be teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. We're always going to be teaching about power. It's not that teaching and preaching will be done away with. In fact, if you read Jesus' ministry, you'll find out he did these things in this order. He went about teaching, preaching, and healing. All right, now say this after me. My ministry is teaching, preaching, and healing. And it is, too. Are you a believer? These signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's called golden man operation from heaven. And if you're teaching in your... See, we've talked about the signs and wonders being the qualifying for the fivefold, and it is. We've got to bring it down a level below that, honey. That verse says, those that believe. Are you believers?
Yes.
Say again, my ministry is,
teaching
preaching,
and healing.
Now see, that's that last part, and that's what Dr. Prakash says. We've had plenty of teaching. We've had lots of preaching. Please, send us somebody with the goods. Send us men of God, women of God. Send us someone with the goods. So what we want is when we get there and we teach and we preach, we can also demonstrate in the power of the Spirit. Amen? All right, well, let's see this then. In John 14. Now, we're going to look at verse 21. And really, to my mind, you might as well look at this. Can y'all see my Bible? Here it is. Got to believe for a healing for my Bible. But now John 14, 15, the chapters, John 14, 15, 16, 17, are just literally falling apart. And the reason is the Lord has had me in those four chapters for 2.5 years. I confess those scriptures, all of them, every day. And I've been doing it sometimes for hours, every day, for over 2.5 years. Why? Jesus asked me a question one time. Now, whenever Jesus comes and asks you a question, it's not because he's looking for information. You do know that. He asked me a question. And the day he asked me, I had been reading in the Old Testament about David and Jonathan. Y'all remember David and Jonathan? And it says that their souls were knit together. That they become even closer than brothers. They cut a covenant between the two of themselves. And I knew it was a type and a shadow of us, the relationship we're to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was reading that passage and the Lord asked me a question. He says, son, how do you expect your mind to ever be conformed to my mind if you do not submit your mind to my words above all else. Now, Dave at that time had been teaching on the power of the soul, the transforming power of the soul, and how God made it. And he said, your soul, God made it this way. He says, it's really a survival mechanism. Your soul is designed by God to transform you to whatever you present your soul to the most. And we all know that's true. And I love the example Dave used. He says, if you were in flying a solo airplane, and you crashed in Alaska in a remote area, and there was nobody but Eskimos there. Now, you're an American from Oklahoma. You have no taste for whale blubber. You like fried chicken. You like sausage and gravy, biscuits, that kind of stuff, you know. But now suddenly you're stranded in this isolated, icy wilderness, and these Eskimos come rescue you. There's no telephone. There's no radio. There's no way for you to get out of there. You wind up having to live with them. And guess what they eat? They eat whale blubber, don't they? Plus, you don't understand their language, do you? But all your soul is submitted to now, day after day after day, is that language and that culture and their food. Pretty soon, first time you threw a harpoon, you threw it through one of the guys rowing the boat, and that was bad. But you keep practicing, you know? And your soul will eventually transform you to that culture. You'll start understanding the words, you know. The first one you'll probably learn to understand is dinner. I know the Eskimo word for dinner, you know, water, things like that, food, you know, bathroom. that point over behind the icy ridge, you know. But anyway, it wouldn't be very long. You would actually develop a taste for whale blubber. You wake up in the morning. It might take a while. Would for me. You wake up and you go, man, I'd like to have some whale blubber. Yeah, you would. You really would. Because your soul has that kind of power. It will transform you. Y'all know that's true. Now, when you're not watching your weight, like I haven't been, obviously, for a little while, I'm about 5 pounds heavier here. And right now, my body, right now, because I've been letting it have it, it wants donuts. And it wants coconut cream pie and strawberry rhubarb pie and all that kind of stuff because I've been letting it have it. But I know from past experience, like that time when I went up, when the Lord had me go on that 40-day meatless thing, you know, just for 40 days. For me, that was a major fast. I mean, my lifetime, Sue could tell you, you know, my dinner plate was 90% meat, about 5% potatoes, and 2 green beans. You know, I mean, it's horrible. I know it's horrible. So when the Lord takes a guy like me that's been living that way for half a century and says, I don't want you to eat any meat for 40 days, honey, we're in persecution now and tribulation. And it was awful. But you know what I noticed at the end of that 40 days? I really wasn't craving the meat. It was odd how my soul transformed me to that in just 40 days. But at that moment, I really, you know, honey, fix me one. She could tell you. She thought she'd never hear these words in a million years come out of my mouth. I say, honey, would you mind fixing a broccoli casserole? And she goes, who are you and what did you do with my husband? You know, get out of my house. I don't know who you are. But your soul has that kind of power. Well, Jesus was asking me that day, because it was right during the time when Dave was teaching heavy on that. And then I was reading that about Jonathan and David and how their souls were knit together. Boy, wouldn't you like for your soul? That's what we're talking about, where our minds become renewed, where our soul thinks just like him. Where we're transformed to think like a golden man from heaven. Like really all things are possible. Yes. Where 5 plus 2 doesn't equal 7, but equals 5,000. Yes. We're not limited by the laws of supply and demand. The demand is 5,000 and you've got 7. But if you can think with golden man thoughts and learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, 5 plus 2 equals 5,000. And really probably 10,000 counting wives. And really probably 15,000 counting children. There is just no limits. But we're always going to be limited as long as we think like natural human beings. So how do we start getting there? So Jesus, he started having me start going through the Gospels. Boy, and then when I just went through them over and over. And then when I got to this particular passage, he just, John 14, 15, 16, 17. Those of you that know, a couple of years ago at the conference, I handed out handouts where I had gone through there verse by verse. Y'all remember those? and made positive confessions. Why do you do that? Well, because when I read it in here, it's like he was talking to them. When I take the same words, make it a present now confession for me, now he's talking to me. And I'm starting to eat for me. Now watch this. We'll start in John 14, verse 21. How many of you, before I even read it, how many of you love Jesus? You better raise your hand in this church. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will, now get this, manifest myself to him. Now just a little further on here, he's going to tell him, he's going to say, without me you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. So unless somehow that life of Christ, that new spirit that we got when we were born again, unless that comes to maturity where enough of his life is flowing through us, where it gets out on our limbs so that there's fruit that the Holy Spirit can develop. Where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the cripples get out of the wheelchairs, that's when Jesus manifests himself through you. Amen. And nothing else is. Well, anyway, yeah, other things are, like teaching, preaching, but eventually the whole idea of all that is manifestation.
Yes, right.
Healings, devils cast out, people salvaged and changed. That's the whole idea. The teaching and the preaching is useless if it never results in demonstration of the Spirit and power. All right, now, so what's he talking about here? Now, see, having read this, this was a favorite verse in the denomination that I grew up in. But they had no concept of these things. And really what they were saying, they were teaching the New Testament very much like the Judaizers were teaching the Old Testament. And really they just exchanged one law for another. So they said, okay, now we're not going to teach you these all these minute particulars from the Old Testament law. But what they did, they went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and took all of the commandments of Jesus, basically, and codified them, and gave you a new law. So my understanding of this verse, even after I was spirit-filled for a while, it was a long time before I could read that book with anything but denominational eyes. My soul had been transformed to that. From the time I was little bitty, I don't remember ever not being in church. But it was the kind of church that I thank God for what they get done. I think people do get saved there. Thank God for that. But it was a long time. Because when I read that first part, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, all I could think of was the commandments given in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, are we to keep those commandments? I'm not belittling that. But that is not at all what he's talking about. Not even at all. He is not talking about substituting an Old Testament law for a New Testament law. What he's talking about is a relationship with him. Now, when I put this into a positive tense confession, once I started understanding this, here's the way I wrote it. Lord, I do whatever you say. Say that after me. Say, Lord,
I do
whatever you say.
You say.
See, because what he's really talking about, let's back up for a minute, just a little page or so ahead of that. Go back to John 12. This will help you understand where I'm coming from. Starting in verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come and that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Now, stop for a moment. We've heard Dave teach on the born-again trail for 4,000 years since the fall of Adam. Not one human being on the face of the earth had the life of God in them, not in their spirit. All men were born dead from the time of Adam on until Jesus Christ appears on the scene. Is that not right? He is for sure abiding alone at that moment in the sense of, I'm the only one, there is none like me, there is not a human being on the face of the earth that has life in their spirit except me right now. Isn't that right? All right, let's continue. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. That's him. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now get this. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Let me just stop right there. Now, here's what Jesus was trying to get across to him. Right now, I'm the only one. And right now, if you guys want to serve me, you have to be where I am physically. Or else you have to go on a mission where I send you, like he sent them out two by two. But it was a very geographical thing. If you got through with that mission, you had to go back where Jesus was physically to find out what to do next. Isn't that right? And he's the only one with that life in him. Now, you remember the promise to Abraham, though? He says, I will bless thee, and I will multiply thy seed. Who is the seed? Jesus Christ. But the whole idea was, there won't just be one. I'm going to multiply that seed. And what Jesus is talking about here, he's really talking about that promise to Abraham. He says, I'm the seed. I'm it. Right now, I'm the only one. But when I get through falling into the earth and dying, then I'm resurrected and glorified, that promise to Abraham is going to be fulfilled. Because I'm going to be multiplied. The seed of Abraham will be multiplied in every single one of you. But notice, the mission has not changed. Because then, it says, right now, I'm the only one. Who is Lord? You could say it this way. Who is Lord here? Jesus, you're Lord. And who's the servant? And the disciples would say, we are. And he's saying, now it won't change even after that event. And if you still want to be my servants, now right now you have to come to me physically to find out what to be doing. Then, I'm physically going to be in heaven, but my spirit is going to be in you. And the Holy Spirit is the go-between. And he will bring my instructions from heaven to you so that you'll know what to be doing, because it's still going to be the same. If you're going to serve me, you're going to have to be where I am. To be where I am, you're going to have to follow my instructions for your life personally, just like you are right now. Can you see that? Now, this picks up a little bit from what I taught during the conference. Now, here's really what we're talking about. Was all of Israel saved? Okay, I don't want to use that term because of the way we think about it. Let me use it this way. The people of Israel in the Old Testament, when the Red Sea divided, you know, Moses and all that, and they crossed over to the other side, you know that's a type and a shadow of being born again. They were saved from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's a type of the devil. They couldn't do anything. They were slaves. It was all done through Moses, wasn't it not? Was it not? I mean, that's a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. You know, they couldn't do anything to save themselves. You know, here comes a deliverer named Moses, and through signs and wonders and mighty deeds, finally, they are delivered, and all they had to do was follow him out of there. Amen? So you know that's a type and a shadow. Now, once they got on the... So it's a type and a shadow, and that's what I meant by all of Israel is saved in the sense of being delivered from Pharaoh. But now, they didn't know what to do next. So there comes a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That's a type and a shadow of what we're talking about. Every person in this room, and probably everybody hearing my voice by tape, is saved in the sense of you have been born again. You're on the other side. You've crossed the Red Sea. You're on the other side. But just like them, you got to know what to do next with your life. What now, Lord? Thank you. He says, now where my servant is, where I am, there you're going to find my servant. So we don't know what to do now. Here comes this cloud. And here comes this fire. And you go, I think I'll follow that. See? Because God was directing, or was in, really, the cloud and the fire. Amen? That's the type and shadow of the Holy Spirit right there. Now, if that cloud goes east, you're supposed to be going north. Huh? If the cloud ain't moving at all, are you supposed to be moving?
No.
You know? But the problem is, because we don't really understand golden man thinking, and we're not really connected yet very well with the Holy Spirit who brings the mind of Christ to us, basically most of us, we love the Lord, but we can't see that cliff. We don't really know where it's going. What are you talking about? We don't know what our ministry is. We don't know what he wants us doing. We don't know if he wants us living in Tulsa, Omaha, Los Angeles, New York, Atoka. You don't know. See? Well, when you don't know, then the only thing you can do is say, well, I'm going to go west. Cloud, follow me. Now, would that have worked for Israel? They would have become enemy fodder. They would have become fertilizer in the deserts. You know, you can't operate that way and not have the reason Dr. Prakash says, please send us no more teachers, send us no more preachers, send us men of God. Because men of God are going to follow that cloud. And you're going to go where Jesus says, where I am, there you'll find my servant. Now, he'll bless you. I don't mean to say he won't bless you all he can, no matter what you choose to do in your life. He will. He'll bless you all he can. But boy, if you want to be on the anointing path, you better find out where your master is going with your life, and you better get to following him. Well, how do I do that? Now, we're going back to John 14. This is how you do it. This is what he meant when he says, keep my commandments. He's not talking about a book written 2,000 years ago, although he's never going to have you violate those things. He's not talking about that. He's saying, you want manifestation? Would you like some demonstration of the Spirit and power? Do what I tell you. Do what I tell you. When he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Think about Abraham. Is he called a friend of God? Yes, he's called a friend of God. Now, God comes to him. He's just a guy living in Ur of the Chaldees, lived there his whole life. His relatives are there, and God comes. I want you to move to a country I'm going to show you. Okay? Starts to packing up. His friends say, what's happening? God told me to move to another country. Where are you going? I don't know. I just know he told me to go. He said he'd show me after I got there. God doesn't have many people like that. People ask Sue and I every now and then, they say, how come you guys don't, when are you guys going to start a church, or how come you haven't started a church? Don't plan on it. Don't plan on it. Why not? He hadn't told me to do that. I mean, first he told us to start that little Bible study in our house. That went on for 2 years, and we started it because he told us to. You start one, and he didn't tell you to. Now, he'll bless it all he can. But it's not the same as when he tells you to. It's just not the same. Now, here's the scary part. So first it was scary to do that. Then after 2 years, we were hitting like 50 to 55 people a week. Honey, you can start a church with 50, 55 people a week. You know what I'm saying? You can get a nice tithe. You can live pretty good if you get 55 people coming on a regular basis. You can. And a lot of people do. You know what he said, though, for Gary Carpenter's commandment? Out of the blue, gave me 1 week's notice. This next week, Thursday night? What night? This next Thursday night is the last service. So why did you stop your Bible study? He told me to. And then it didn't make any sense. It was as odd then to stop it as it was to start it. And it was hard on them, and it was hard on me. He'd given me a shepherd's heart for these people. That was a sad night. I was crying. They didn't understand, and neither did I. But I've got a pastor that taught me how to hear the voice of God. And it doesn't matter. If the cloud stops, you stop. Starts moving, you follow it. If it changes direction, you change direction. Well, looking back on it now, I see perfectly why he had to stop it. See, hindsight's always 20/20. Had that thing kept going on like it was going, we were busting at the seams. We had people sitting Indian style all over the floor, down the hallway, in the kitchen. I couldn't even see some of them. I'd go, Fred, you doing okay? I'd hear his voice from the kitchen. I couldn't see him. Yeah, we're fine in here. You know? I had to have catchers to hold people up. Because if they fell, they're going to squash three people sitting on the floor. Teach like I'm standing in a 5-gallon bucket. Can't move. There's nowhere to move. You know? It was difficult. But the point is, we're busting at the seams. What's the next step? What if you got 65 the next week? 75 the next week? You're talking to church now. You're talking to church. And that was never God's mind. He sent us here to help Dave bring revival. He didn't call me here to draw disciples away after myself. If you have my commandment, let me put it a little differently. If you hear what I want you to do, and then you do it, those are the ones that love me. Those are the ones that love me. And you'll see the manifestations of my power. Now, from that, by following him, I would never have thought of this in a million years. I had no idea what he intended to do, but now he's got us in a ministry that doesn't reach 55 people a week. He's got us in a tape ministry and a internet ministry that's reaching thousands of people. Thousands of them. Around the world. What are you going to do next? I have no idea. My Lord is alive. How about yours? And his instructions next week may be totally different from his instructions this week. John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, those that do what I say, those are the ones that love me. And he that loves me, and how are you going to prove that you love him? I'll tell you how to prove that I didn't love him. Because I'll be honest, it was hard for me to stop that Bible study. And it wasn't anything financial because we took up no offerings. We're not talking about that. But what are we talking about? Number one, he put a real love for every one of those people in my heart. More carnal than that, though, it gave me a sense of satisfaction that I was doing something. I knew people were getting helped. I felt like I was being useful. It gave me a sense of accomplishment, if you will. I felt fruitful. And it was hard for me to give that up. Okay? But now once I knew for sure what he said, right there, now you're going to find out whether you love him, whether you don't love him. You're finding out whether you're following the cloud, whether you're commanding the cloud to follow you. Because once I knew for sure, and I knew it was him. Well, I don't understand this. I have no idea what's coming next. But I'll do it. And he didn't give me an option. He said this one. This next one. All right. Verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. What words? Well, not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, thank God for all of that. He's not talking about that. Revelation knowledge now. John 14 comes after John 12. He already told them, you're my servants now while I'm only one. I'm going to be multiplied in all of you, but if you want to continue to be my servants, where I am, I better find you there. If you want to serve me, you better go where I tell you. You're still going to be my servants then, just like you're my servants now. Okay? With that thinking, now he says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Let's change it just a little, just for your thinking. He'll do what I say. He's talking about the words today. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Well, what's that mean? Listen, Jesus plainly said many, many times, it is my Father's kingdom. But he has made me Lord, or you could say steward, over it. I'm only doing the will of the Father. I'm only doing the will of the Father. And if you'll serve me, you'll be doing the will of the Father. Okay. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. In other words, I'm here right now talking to you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So he's not only going to, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's not only going to put you in remembrance of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those things which Jesus has already said. I've had him do that numerous times, and so have you. But he's also come to teach you all things. What kind of things? Your call. What town you're supposed to be living in. What your ministry really is. Who you're supposed to be married. And by the way, if you're already married, that question's answered. I think our marriage is a lemon. He'll make lemonade out of it. Okay? He'll make lemonade out of it if you trust him. Okay? All right? That's what he's talking about here. He says, right now you come to me to get your direction, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to give you my direction. That's why I keep harping the last two conferences about Dave's little set of tapes there called Distinguishing God's Voice. Nothing is more important to us. Nothing is more important to you as an individual than learning how to hear, to isolate the ear of your spirit where you can hear directly the mind of Christ by the Holy Ghost. Now, I've got to get this down even lower. See, we don't want that golden man sitting in a natural classroom anymore, do we? All of us are golden men. All of us have that new spirit on the inside of us. And all of us need to be getting our directions from headquarters. Jesus himself physically, the glorified man-God, the glorified God-man, Jesus, in his glorified body, is not on the earth. Do you understand that? He is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. You, however, is on the earth. All right? Now, the agent that goes between the two is the Holy Spirit. He hears the counsel of Jesus Christ for every, not only the whole church, but every particular person in the church. And one of the ways he said it to me was this. He says, listen, he says, I bring you the mind of Christ. If you'll sit and listen to my counsel, if you'll learn how to hear me, I'll bring you his mind for you. Like what? Start a Bible study. End a Bible study. Send tapes free. Or whatever he tells you to do. All of that comes by spending time with the Holy Spirit. But eventually, you know, everyone starts off, you know, praying in other tongues a lot. You need to continue to do that. But eventually, the way we're made, if those instructions don't somehow eventually get to your soul, you're not going to be able to operate. You need to know answers to things. I'm probably a prophet. That's probably what I am. Yeah. Because I took that course where they took my character traits and I X'd all those little boxes, and when it was done, they told me, well, you have the characteristics of a prophet. Oh, God. God help us all, you know? And he says, no, you're a janitor. Right now, your assignment is vacuuming that floor. That is my commandment to you, and if you love me, you'll do that. No, I'm a prophet. You're a janitor. You're here to help a prophet. Who, Dave? If you'll be like Joshua to Moses or like Elijah to Elijah, we'll talk about your promotion. But if you love me, do what I tell you. I don't like vacuuming carpets. Do you love me or don't you love me? Do you love me or don't you love me? You're going to do what I say, you're not going to do what I say. You want to follow me? You want to command me to follow you? Who is Lord here? You know? I recommend those tapes, Distinguishing God's Voice. Tim said during the conference, now, if you can't afford them, I hope by now everyone's got them. But if you don't have them, Tim says, you know, if you can't afford them, just take a set. Put in an offering later or something, you know? But it's too important. You've got to have these. And just having them isn't the answer.
do what's on them until it's working.
Amen.
You say, well, I did it. And again, you know, we'll just use that same old example. It's so good, you can't beat it. It worked, Brother Gary. It did? Yes. I did exactly what's on those tapes. I shandied until I thought my tongue was going to fall out. And I listened and I listened. And it changed to English. It did? Yeah. And God told me, go to the barbershop, 2 o'clock this afternoon. And there was a man named Fred. There'd be a man named Fred there. And he'd be lost. And I'm supposed to come in and thus saith the Lord, and I lead him to Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord told me. Well, tell me tomorrow how it turned out. Okay. See that guy tomorrow? Well, how did it go? Well, I don't understand, are you? I did just exactly what the Lord told me, and I got to the barbershop at 2 o'clock, and it was a holiday, and they were closed. And there was no man named Fred there or anybody else there. Why would God send me to a closed barbershop to witness to a Fred that's not there? Honey, he didn't send you. Now, just fess up. You didn't hear him. God's not stupid. You know? Gary, has that ever happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, what do? You throw out the baby with the bathwater? Well, this doesn't work, you know. It's like those people that tried confession for 2 days. You know? Or 2 weeks. Or 2 months. But quit. Or 2 years. And quit before it started working. You get back in there and you do it till it does start working. It takes a while for you to isolate and learn the difference between the ear of your spirit and your old flaky mind. Can I just say that?
Yes.
We're used to being led by our minds. You know? That's why the Holy Spirit told me. He said, it is better to do one thing each day according to the mind of Christ than to do 1,000 things of your own devising. Now, to a guy like me, that's real scary, because I'm a worker. I'm a workaholic. I can think of more things to get done than all of you can do today by nightfall. Thing of it is, I'll try and do it all myself. I'm a worker. I really am. Anyone around me knows that. My problem is my mind can devise more good things to do for God and none of it be that cloud. None of it. That's my biggest... I confess, you know, confess your faults one to another. That is my biggest fault. Thinking of all these good things to do for God so that I don't actually get so doggone busy I don't have time to spend with God to find out really what it is. So I might do 1,000 things today and not one of them, not one really be the mind of Christ for me today. And I mean work. I usually get up 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I may take a nap in the middle, but I don't usually quit till about 9 o'clock at night. My best friend talked to me yesterday. He'd come over to the house and I was working. Called me later, I was working. Called me later on the nap, about dark, and I was still working. He says, don't you ever quit? And I said, no. And then the Holy Spirit rebuked me. I said, that's your problem. Martha. Yeah. Confess your faults one to another. You know, he gets on me, I get on you. That's the deal. But the whole idea is for every one of us. There is no telling the gifts and callings that are sitting right in this room, and especially those that are hearing this message by tape. And every one of us, you know, I taught a little message here a while back called "Neutralized by Good Intentions." And what that is this, you know. Let's say you hear the message of that. The fundamental message, praying in other tongues, and you decide to do that. So you start setting aside time, 2-3 hours a day, whatever, praying in other tongues. Well, sure enough, just like the Lord says, the Holy Spirit, He starts bringing forth in you your gift. It's kind of slow at first. But let's just say hypothetically, just so we can teach. Let's say that her top highest call, the thing God has for her, that hundredfold walk for her, is to have a worldwide ministry of supernatural deliverance to deaf people. That's what, before the foundations of the world, He called B to minister supernatural healing to the deaf. God's perfect will for her life would be to let that gift come forward so that every single deaf person she ever prays for in the name of Jesus, they leave hearing. You got that? So she begins to pray. She doesn't know that, though. She's just like everybody else. She doesn't know. So she comes in here. She hears Day's message. She says, I want to do that, and starts praying. Well, now she continues to pray, week one, week two, month one, year one. And as she continues to do that, she doesn't know why, but this incredible love for deaf people, she just starts, a heart for deaf people starts just coming up in her. Maybe she never really thought about it before, but just every time she sees a little deaf child or somebody that's deaf, something in her, and what it is, it's God's calling, starting to mature, see? And she's going, oh, I don't know what this is. The more I pray, the more I want to help deaf people. And I just can't stand it when they can't hear, you know. And see, what God's doing, He's taking all that broad path where you could choose anything for your life. And as you continue to pray in the Holy Ghost, what's He doing? He's narrowing all those choices down and putting a heart in you for your call, which is a narrow way. It's very narrow. So that's what's happening, but she doesn't understand the depth of it. Well, eventually, that she so wants to do something to help deaf people. So maybe she starts learning that sign language thing so that she can be one of those ministers that when we have a deaf section, you know, and so when Dave or whoever's preaching, she can over there and she can do that sign language thing so that the deaf can and she starts getting satisfaction and some gratification. Well, at least I'm helping. I'm helping deaf people, see? And you start getting some satisfaction and gratification. She continues to pray, though, and she says, that love for deaf people and wanting to help people just keeps maturing and getting stronger and stronger. I got to do more. I got to do more to help these people. So she starts going to Tulsa Community College at night, starts learning all the different things. She enrolled specifically in those classes that will help her help deaf people. So pretty soon she graduates from that, and let's say she starts a hearing aid business, which helps them, and she starts this and that, and maybe a school for the deaf people, and she may spend the next 50 years, see, the next 50 years doing good works. It's all good. It's not that it's not. But her whole next 50 years will be spent helping deaf people according to natural man's ability. Now, let me ask you, when did the father ever get to work in that scenario? See, because the father, he has a different plan for deaf people than hearing aids. He has a different plan for deaf people than sign language. What happened with her? See, because what's going to happen? You're going to start getting busier. You're going to start opening schools for the deaf. You're going to start running a hearing aid business. Pretty soon you're going to get busier and busier, and your prayer time gets shorter and shorter. And before long, you spent the next 50 years really neutralized by good intentions. And right there, you just described most ministries. Right there, you described most ministries. It's not that it's not good. And see, the trap is, there's gratification that comes from that. There's that feeling of I'm being useful, I'm helping people, comes from that. And it is good. And you won't lose your reward. It's not. I'm not saying that, see. He says you can't give a cup of cold water in my name and lose your reward. See, it's not that. It's just you never really got into that. You're in that good. You may even be in that acceptable will of God. But where's that perfect will? Well, God the Father, the idea is not that you don't do something. I mean, we should be doing something. But for God's sake, don't lose the prayer time. Don't lose that ability to develop that ear of yours on the inside, which is sensitive, where you can hear the mind of Christ. He may let you do some things along the way. But honey, ultimately, He's wanting to bring you into that perfect hundredfold walk. Well, now you gather up 100 deaf people, and you don't have to put them in school. You don't have to teach them sign language. You don't have to sell them hearing aids, because when they leave your service, because when they come to your service now, you're going to teach them. And then you're going to preach to them. And then in His name, you're going to heal them. Teaching, preaching, and healing. Amen? Now, that's golden man thinking now. See? Golden man thinking. That's the way Jesus thought. I brought Him to your disciples, and they could not heal my son. The devil keeps trying to kill him and throws him in the fire, throws him in the water. How long has he been like this since a child? And I brought him to your church, and they could not heal him. Can you do anything? Well, in his own body, he most certainly could he not? Jesus? The question today is, can he through his body today? Because the church is his body. Now, in order to go from man's wisdom and natural man thinking to that golden man thinking where we are an invading, occupying force from another planet sent to liberate this one, we're going to have to get in a different classroom. PCU, Prayer Closet University. And I thank God for what I'm seeing with the... I think the whole tree is beginning to manifest now. Now, what I mean by that is the trunk of the tree is the born-again trail, is it not? Being born again, we're finding that we know what the trunk is now. Now we're finding out there's several limbs, not just one or two. Up until now, we pretty well thought they were tongues and fasting. Well, then, meditation, we had three, I guess. You know, tongues, fasting, meditation. You know? But now we're finding out there's worship. Now we're finding out about that real kind of worship that takes you literally into His presence. One of the things God taught me years ago, and I've got it in my little series called The Armor of God. You can't get the armor of God except from Him. It's His armor. And if you're going to get it, you got to go where He is. And a big part of that is worship. Big part of that is worship. So I thank God. So it's going to be a matter of all the trees, all the limbs on this tree. Praying in the Spirit, real worship in spirit and in truth. It's going to be meditation of the Word and assimilation of the Word. It's going to be confession of the Word, which is just part of meditation. It's going to be all of these things, all of them. But that whole idea, though, is to eventually not just be a fruitless limb out there hanging off of the trunk. Man, we need to have those big old grapes, big old clusters of fruit just dripping off, so that whenever God sends Bee to any country, and she has those posters that goes ahead of her, you know, announcing the meetings. Holy Ghost meeting. Bring the deaf and the demon possessed. 7 o'clock Tuesday night. And the thing of it is, it's not hype. She teaches, and she preaches, and then she heals. Hallelujah, hallelujah.